Welcome to Let's Talk EI with Dr. Hank Clemens. This is an open forum to discuss all things emotional intelligence. So call and share your thoughts and ideas at 888-463-6748. That's 888-GO-FOR-IT. Now, here's your host, Dr. Hank.
Well, good morning again. Good day. Hello. How are you? It's just another exciting day for me, and I hope it's another exciting day for you, too. Welcome to the show. The show is called Let's Talk EI. Let's Talk EI is a monthly show dedicated to discussing emotional intelligence and related topics. And I've had a challenge going for about 3 months now that I challenge anyone to be able to call in and come up with a topic in which emotional intelligence does not apply. And so far, 3 months have gone by, no one has called in, or certainly no one has shared a topic or came up with anything that says to me that emotional intelligence couldn't be applied to it. I'm Dr. Hank. I'm the founder and CEO of the Society of Emotional Intelligence, so welcome to the show. Let's Talk EI, and often people ask the question, well, what's Let's Talk EI all about? Well, really, it's a medium, one of many mediums that we use to introduce, educate, inform, as well as share information about emotional intelligence with our members and listeners out there. Other mediums that we use to share information is our website, which is www.societyofei.org. We have professional development meetings through our chapters. That's another way that we share information. And we also have an annual conference that's held in October of each year. And we have an exciting, let me tell you, we have an exciting conference coming up this year. The date is October 18th. So if you haven't marked your calendar already, get that calendar out, mark it. October 18th, we'll be here in Tampa, Florida, as we've been for the past 3 years. Some other information that you'll find on our website is some of our chapters. And speaking of chapters, we now have 12 chapters. And I'm just going to call off a few of them. I might miss one or two, and if I do, I apologize. But we have Atlanta, Delaware, Houston, Los Angeles, New York, Orlando. Orlando, by the way, is referred to as Central Florida chapter. Then we have Phoenix that's coming online. We have Tallahassee, Tampa, our newest, Washington. And then we have the Gulf Coast chapter that's led by Joe Fierro. And speaking of Joe Fierro, Joe is going to be my co-host today. Joe, are you on the line?
Hello, Hank. It's me, Joe Fierro. I'm on the line.
Fantastic, fantastic. How's things going where you are? Are you still Coast Guard, correct?
Yes, I'm a civil service working with the Coast Guard. You bet. I retired from the Coast Guard back in 2002 after 22 years of active duty service. I'd do it all over again in a heartbeat, Hank.
Fantastic. Well, I was Navy, so I can understand a little bit about being out there on the open waters and things. Joe, I'm going to come back to you in a few minutes, but I want to let the folks out there know just a little bit more about SOEI. Is that okay?
Good deal.
Okay. I was kind of sharing a couple other things. We have some LinkedIn groups. That's another way that we get information out. So if you're not connected to LinkedIn, or if you don't have a LinkedIn as a part of your social network, I encourage you to do so today. And once there, you can find one of our groups is called the Society of Emotional Intelligence Network. And then the other one is the Society of Emotional Intelligence Exchange. Now, the Exchange is a members-only group. So the only way that you can actually get into that network is by being a member of SOEI. But being a member is pretty easy. All you have to do is go to our website. Our website, again, is societyofei.org. And there's three levels of membership. Professional, there's a corporate, and a student. Professional is $50 for the first year, $35 for renewals. Corporate, which includes three members, is only $200, and the student rate is $15. And for our students, I know poor students don't really don't have any money, but a student rate is only $15, which comes out to a little less than 5 cents for the less 5 cents a day. Yeah, that comes out to a little less than 5 cents a day, which I think is a pretty good deal. If you're new to Let's Talk EI, our format is like this. Each month we have a co-host. And this month I told you about Joe. You had a chance to hear a little bit from him. We're going to be back to him in just a minute. We also like to have a topic that we like to discuss, kind of get us warmed up in preparation for our special guest. And we do have a special guest today. Our special guest is Barbara Dandro. And she's going to be sharing some information from her book. Her book is titled Thriving with Positive Attitudes. And I can't wait to talk to Barbara, find out more about that and how does one thrive with positive attitudes when there's all kinds of things going on today that sometimes kind of gets in the way. So we'll hear from Barbara. And Barbara will be on at the bottom of the hour. So stay tuned. We'll talk with Barbara. I know you're either at lunch or at breakfast, but in either case, stay tuned because you'll really want to hear what Barbara has to say about her book. The other thing I wanted to mention is that Let's Talk EI is an open forum. So we'd love for you to call in and share your thoughts and ideas with us about emotional intelligence or whatever else that's on your mind. And to reach us by phone, you dial 1-888-463-6748. Now, you heard me say dial. We really don't dial phones anymore. We kind of push buttons or finger touch or touch-sensitive phones and all of those things. I don't know why we say dial. But anyway, the number is 1-888-463-6748. You can talk to me or my co-host, which is Joe Fierro, or our guest, which will be Barbara Dandro. So we want to hear what's on your mind, too, as it relates to emotional intelligence. Joe, I want to come back to you because I understand that you're working on some things. You have a leadership consulting firm. Is that correct also?
Yes, that's correct. Fierro LS & Company.
Say that one again.
Sure, that's Fierro LS and Company.
What's LS? What's the LS?
A luxury sport. No. That's Fierro Leadership Systems and Company, my friend.
Oh, okay. So when I hear leadership systems, then is there some particular approach that you use? Because, you know, there are a lot of consultants and they have a lot of different approaches around things. So just curious, when I hear leadership system, is there an approach that you typically use?
Absolutely, yeah. You know, much of the work that I do is based on the Baldrige Criteria for Performance Excellence. And in the Baldrige, what I've learned in the application of it since the latter 80s and early 90s is that leaders in organizations that have a systematic approach to the way that they manage their resources and lead their people have the tendency to make it easier to internalize a culture of excellence. So the system that I use is Baldrige Criteria, and it includes seven categories there, and they all work together. So that's important to identify the leadership. You know, what is the vision, the mission, direction that the organization is set? How you're going to get there through your strategic plans? That's category two. Category three is customer focus. Who are you doing it for? That's an important thing, but yet it's oftentimes overlooked. And the customer's expectations and how to manage their specifications doesn't always get cascaded to the front line or within the organization. Information analysis and knowledge management, human resource focus, process management, and finally, all of those come to bear on business results.
Oh, wow. That sounds pretty comprehensive. And when I'm hearing that, you know, I'm thinking, you know, most organizations can use that, but most organizations, well, they often claim or say they don't have time, you know, to make that kind of investment, you know, not talking about monetary investment. You're talking about time investment, because if you're talking about a system, such as the one that you just mentioned, you know, it takes, they have to be committed to it. So have you found any resistance to working from that perspective?
Yes, you know, it's resistance is oftentimes, you know, in every group, wherever there's change, you know, I use an exercise that helps to illustrate the point of resistance, mm-hmm. how there's a natural tendency for us to resist. If you can imagine a person sitting on a chair and holding their hands up in the air, kind of like a high five, both hands up in the air. And what I do is I come over and I kind of push on those hands. And you can imagine if someone was pushing on your hands, what's the natural tendency for most people to do?
Okay, I got both of my hands up in the air right now, and I'm imagining that you're pushing on them. And I know for me, you know, when someone is kind of pushing in one direction, I will have a tendency to kind of push back. So it's sort of like, you know, it's like you don't want to be overcome by the other person. So you just kind of naturally push back to try and at least maintain a status quo, if you will.
That's absolutely right. Very good. And you passed the test. Where's your certificate?
Oh, my goodness. Send it to me in the mail.
So there's an example of the natural tendency for resistance. And so my approach and the approach of others that I've seen that work well with organizations to help them to embrace this is the recognition that resistance impedes retention. Resistance impedes retention. And so my approach is to help to reduce that resistance by making it more comfortable, using examples that might be familiar with clients and organizations to help them to assimilate the systems for leadership performance and organizational management.
Okay. Joe, I'm going to just kind of switch reels here. If you jump off this horse and jump on another one real quick. I know that you are trying to get your chapter up and running down there. And when I say the Gulf Coast area, now the Gulf Coast would include Louisiana, Mississippi, and Alabama. If there's some folks that would like to get involved, how do they reach you?
Sure. Well, you know, just not unlike a bunch of other professionals out there, you can find me on LinkedIn and drop me a line there. And that's Joe Fierro, and that's F-I-E-R-R-O, just like the car with two R's, Joe Fierro. That's how you get me there. Otherwise, I would invite you to write to me, click away, joe@fierros.com. That's one way to get to me on the Internet. And then if you like to use the old-fashioned way, where you referred to as the old-fashioned way, dialing, I remember those days.
Yeah, you heard me say dial. You know, very few people dial anymore.
I know. It's neat to see, though, when those phones, whenever I do see them, I just feel like using them anyways. But you can click away or tap away on your mobile phone, area code 337-540-1169. That number, 337-540-1169. Those are the two ways that you can catch me.
Okay, Joe, stay with us because I want to talk to you a little bit more. There's something that you particularly focus on, and it's called ROI. And right after we come back from the break, I want to explore that. And I also want to invite our listeners out there, if there's anyone listening that would like to join in our discussion about ROI, to call us at 1-888, I think that's 3-8, 463-6748. That's 1-888-463-6748. This is Dr. Hank, and we're on Let's Talk EI. We'll be right back.
Now, back to Let's Talk EI on TalkZone.com. Here's your host, Dr. Hank.
And we're back. Thanks for staying with us. And we have a co-host today. His name is Joe Fierro, who's the chair for the Gulf Coast chapter. And the Gulf Coast chapter consists of the states of Alabama, Louisiana, and Mississippi. So if there's anyone in those states that would like to become a member of the Society of Emotional Intelligence, well, just go to our website, which is www.societyofemotionalintelligence or www.societyofei.org. And from there, you can select what chapter that you would like to be affiliated with. My hopes is that you would want to be affiliated with the chapter that's in your local area or state. In a couple of states, we have more than one chapter, so whatever chapter is closest to you. Before the break, we were talking about emotional intelligence and how it plays out, and Joe was sharing with me the system that he uses in his consulting group. And let me say this, by the way, most of the chairs that are a part of the Society of Emotional Intelligence are involved in other kinds of things. Some are involved in academia, some are coaches, some are consultants, or some just have a regular business and they go to work and they do their 8 to 5 on a daily basis. Some folks are retired, some folks are just independent consultants. So they come from a variety of lifestyles, if you will. So if you're interested in having a chapter established in your area, go to our website, pull it up. You'll see there's some information there about chapter formation, and send us a note. We'll be happy to discuss and share with you the criteria for becoming a chair in a chapter in your area. So I'm excited about that. The organization is growing, and I'm really excited. I'm also excited that Joe Fierro is with us today, because Joe is going to share some information, or we can have some discussion around something that is called ROI. And Joe, typically when I hear ROI, I think about return on investment. Now, is that the ROI we're talking about?
It sure is, Hank, the return on investment. Just like the monetary values that are expressed by investment firms to give you an idea what the estimate is on your portfolio, return on investment is making its way in the public sector, education, and programs just like this.
Wow. But when I think of return on investment, you know, I'm thinking, you know, if I invest in, a stock or bond or something like that, you know, sort of what I'm going to get back from it. Now, I kind of don't think about that when I'm thinking about emotional intelligence. But from what I'm hearing, you found a way to kind of talk about return on investment from emotional intelligence.
Absolutely, Hank. You know, I was having a conversation with some HR professionals and quality directors just last week, and during the course of the conversation, we gyrated to the return on investment. We had attended an annual conference that was the Florida Sterling Conference in Orlando, and very well attended and a wonderful event. And so while we were having our conversation revolved around HR, human resources, training and development programs and the like, you know, one of the things that I had learned to start thinking about, and, you know, goes hand in hand with leadership systems, as you mentioned, quite comprehensive. You can't separate, or I think it's dangerous to separate any of the efforts that we put underway, including leadership, emotional intelligence, training and development programs, from what is the cost, but not only the cost, but what's the return? How much are we getting back for that investment? Okay. And then in the course of the conversation, my thoughts turned to annual budget meetings or quarterly budget meetings where you have vice presidents or directors, leaders of the various departments in an organization, and you might have the operations folks in the room, the marketing folks in the room, and the training and the development folks. And oftentimes it's not so difficult for someone that's the head of a manufacturing plant to demonstrate what's the return on investment for the for a new machine that they built or that they acquired in order to produce their product or service. And then
when you mentioned that, one of the things I just thought about is I used to work in the oil industry many years ago, and one of the things was they often had to, you know, replace different kinds of equipment and things like that. And that's exactly one of the things they would do is they would come in and they say, you know, when we need to replace this compressor, this is how much it's going to save, or this is what it's going to do for us.
That's right. That's right. And the return on investment, this is one of those ways that you quantify that value. Of course, the ROI has been around since the 20s. So it's one of those things that, you don't go to too many investment meetings where someone's going to talk to you about what the return is on the investment. Well, the same applies to programs like emotional intelligence. Builds off of Kirkpatrick's model. You remember a fellow Kirkpatrick developed 4 levels of training and performance measurement?
Right. There was something about the unconsciously incompetent or something along those lines.
That relates to the conscious competence model. In Kirkpatrick's model, where we talk about measuring the effectiveness of training programs, it has four levels. You know, the first one is satisfaction. Did you like the training? Sometimes it gets boiled down to, hey, did they have the right kind of coffee and donuts for you or something like that? Level one is satisfaction with the training, though. That's what we're talking about. You remember now.
Yes.
To do with learning. Yeah, level two, the learning process. You know, did you learn anything by attending this program? Level three is the application. Are you able to apply what it is that you learned? Level four is the business impact. You know, if you were supposed to go and learn how to reduce the errors in your typing, you know, were you able to do that? And in turn, the business impact would reduce the cycle time associated with developing documents. Those are Kirkpatrick's 4 levels of measuring the effectiveness of training. And so ROI takes the 5th level, and that is putting a dollar value when you compare the investment of the time, the materials, and the like for someone to go, for example, learn about emotional intelligence. What is the dollar value associated with improvements to the way that they perform on the job? That's ROI, right?
Okay, gotcha. Now, you mentioned that now that it becomes a little more clear, because one of the things that I saw, there was a Harvard Business Review article. Actually, it was the HBR Blog Network. There was an article titled, "Can You Really Improve Your Emotional Intelligence?" And the author of the article said, well, yes, you can. And from his perspective, there were 5 different things that you needed to be able to do. The first one, your level of emotional EQ is firm, but it's not rigid. The second was, good coaching programs do work. The third was, but you can only improve if you get accurate feedback. And the fourth one was, some techniques and coaches are more competent than others. And then the fifth was, some people are more coachable than others. And so I would imagine if we're looking at a return on investment or ROI using what I just kind of mentioned there, we would have to say that we would have to take into consideration, you know, what is it that you or the company or the organization going to invest, because we now know with some good degree of information out there and research that one can improve their emotional intelligence. So now it comes down to that ROI. How do we measure that? And so if you were going to mention ROI to, let's say, company A over there, what might be one thing that they might measure to see if their ROI has indeed kind of paid off? What would be one easy thing to measure?
I think the first thing to do would be to ask, whose ROI are you talking about? Is it the student that went to the training? Is it the student's manager that is supporting and consequently paying for the student to attend? or is it the CEO or the organization? So the one thing you'd want to do first is to identify whose ROI you're talking about. So let's say that it's the manager, the person for whom the student works. And so the manager, what we would ask with regard to the ROI is, in terms of change in behavior after the training in emotional intelligence, would you say that increases in cycle time was reduced, that the precision of that person's outputs of performance, the way that they interact with their team members have improved? Those would be the areas that I would focus in on for determining the ROI for the emotional intelligence knowledge that they just gained.
Fantastic. This sounds really good. And, you know, and I think the more we can quantify the return on investment as it relates to emotional intelligence, the more organizations are willing to invest in it. One of the things that organizations often say is, when you're talking about emotional intelligence, you're talking about this warm and fuzzy, gushy, mushy kind of stuff, and it's not really hard science. But what I'm hearing is, if you can put an ROI on there, that might change some of the thinking.
I think it's essential, especially when you're competing for budget.
Okay. All right. Well, you know what? We're at a break time again on the show. They just happen so quickly. You know, right when we get into the midst of talking about stuff, we have to take a break. But I tell you what, we have our special guest. Not that you're not special, Joe, so let me make that clear. But we have another guest that's going to be with us right after the break. And I had mentioned at the top that Barbara Dandro, who's going to be with us, and she's going to be sharing some information from her book, Thriving with Positive Attitude. So, Joe, if you can stay with us, my co-host, you might want to jump in and share some thoughts around that also when we come back. But we'll be right back after the break. So stay with us, everyone.
It's time for more of Let's Talk EI on TalkZone.com. Here's Dr. Hank.
Thank you, everyone, for staying with us. It is really, really an exciting show that we have going. It's exciting to me, I tell you. I'm talking with one of my favorite folks, and that's Joe Fierro. And Joe and I've kind of met each other before. We've kind of talked about things. We have some similar backgrounds, he being in the Coast Guard and me being in the Navy. But we also share some similar thoughts around emotional intelligence. So, Joe, thanks for being with us as a co-host. Really appreciate that.
It's a pleasure. Thank you.
We also have a special guest, and I shared with Joe just before we went to the break that he's a special guest, too. But I'm really excited to have Barbara Dandro with us today. And Barbara Dandro has written a book titled Thriving with Positive Attitude. So I'm excited to know more about that. She gave me a copy of it. And Barbara, I have to admit, I haven't read it completely. I did thumb through it. And saw some really interesting stuff. So first, let me say hello, Barbara. How are you?
Hi, Dr. Hank. I'm terrific, and I'm pleased to be here.
Well, great. I'm going to be right back with you in just a minute, but I want to share with the folks out there a little information from your bio. Is that okay?
Sure. Thank you.
Okay. Well, Barbara Dandro has an MBA. She's an author, public speaker, and a business workshop facilitator. She's a certified senior level business development consultant and as an independent affiliate of Resource Association Corporation, an international training and development organization based in Reading, Pennsylvania. I know some of you probably played Monopoly and have probably saw the Reading Railroad or the Reading Railroad. Well, anyway, that's where Reading, Pennsylvania is. Anyway, Barbara specializes in coaching newly promoted leaders and facilitating workshops with company teams so that they use their talents, skills, and knowledge in a positive manner to function more effectively, efficiently, and profitably. Her new book, Thriving with Positive Attitudes, focuses on ideas that business owners and managers can implement for making rational versus irrational, emotionally intelligent decisions in order to be successful and a happy, which is a pretty well way to say we probably have a pretty hectic, fast-paced world out there, and so we do need to figure out how to be successful and happy in that hectic and fast-paced world. Would you agree with that, Barbara?
Oh, absolutely, Dr. Hank, and I think it really is a matter of perspective and standing back and learning to view things for what they are, not necessarily for what we fear that they might be because of a past experience or because, the person I'm dealing with has blonde hair, light brown hair. I have light brown hair. Used to be blonde. And just making assumptions that have no basis in the moment. And the past is the past. So new opportunities can be missed because of assumptions like that.
Yeah. One of the things that I think about when you were mentioning that was within emotional intelligence, one of the things that we often talk about is reality testing, and that is seeing things as they really are. And so that's what I kind of reflected on when you kind of mentioned how people see things or how people view things. So would you say that that might be a part of reality testing?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. Because even though we are humans and we should make logical decisions, we're also emotional creatures, of course, and our first reaction might cloud our judgment and help us to react in a way that's not a reality check, to see the situation or the person for what it is. I might take something someone said as, oh, boy, that person just, she doesn't want like me or he's out to get me, when in reality, the person's just having a bad day. And, communication, I think, gets harder and harder in our hectic, fast-paced world and can lead to the stumbling block for that reality check.
Okay. Barbara, the title of your book is Thriving with Positive Attitudes. And I know before the show is over, somebody's going to want to get a copy of that book or get their hands on it. So how would they go about reaching you or being able to get a copy of the book?
Well, there's a link on my website. They can just go to bjdandrow.com. Or they're welcome to call me, and I'll put a copy in the mail to them. My phone number is 727-515-1480.
Okay, and let's see. I have an email for you, barbara@bjdandrow.com.
That's correct.
Okay, great. I know that people sometimes want a copy of a book when someone is on. And usually if we wait until the end of the show to give that information out, we can only give it out once. So what I thought is, why not give it out up front and then, somewhere in the middle and then at the end. That way, if people want a copy, at least they get a couple of opportunities to hear. It's sort of like sometimes when someone calls in or calls you on the phone and at the end, they want you to call them back, and so they leave their phone number, but they say it so quickly sometimes you don't get a chance to record it, and they only say it once, and so it's gone, and you go, well, geez, maybe if I had had another opportunity, I could have, maybe I'm the only one that suffers from that. But anyway, Barbara.
Actually, that's one of those communication moments where the communicator is not thinking in terms of the receiver. But if I was thinking in terms of the receiver, I would leave my phone number up front. And actually, a friend of mine years ago mentioned that to me, that, he had to listen to my whole message before he got my phone number and always put it up front. And that made an impact on me. But it's always for the benefit of the receiver. And if we want a call back, then certainly, think of what's the most important thing that people remember, usually the beginning and the end of any conversation or phone message or personal message or speech. And so to get the right reaction from the person, the positive reaction, then we have to think in those terms, and that becomes harder and harder when we're accomplishing so much.
Oh, I know exactly what you're talking about. And that brings me to, I was going to ask you a couple of things here, and I hope you don't mind, but the first line in your book is a question: are humans logical? Do you believe that human beings are not usually logical?
Well, I believe that human beings definitely attempt to be logical, and many times we do step back and we do that reality check and we try to assess all the facts. It's often hard to get all the facts unless we have multiple sources. But in the end, there's some sort of emotion driving it, like the decision will be a successful one and I'll be happy. Or if I don't take this step, then, gee, I'm afraid of what's going to be when it happened to me. So that's an emotional reaction. So I want to have the right attitude that I'm doing it for the right reason, that everyone will be pleased, and that's a positive attitude, or no one will be hurt, and that's the right attitude. And I'm not basing it on things that I heard in the past, like don't ever do this. Well, you know, when I was 10, maybe that was appropriate, but sometimes those things stick in our brains and we're afraid to take another step based on past beliefs. But if we take the time to clearly think about what the decision is, then I think there's a lot of logic there. But even someone buying a nice sports car, I heard Joe Fierro on earlier, people might buy that nice sports car because it actually has, it's gas efficient and it'll get me where I'm going. That's practical, but you know, in the end, I look good in that car. So there's an emotional decision. It has some logic in it, but, and using time, I think, stepping back to think, what is the long-term outcome instead of making that quick decision? The quick decision may be the not logical one, though a deadline might be approaching or there may be a reason to react quickly, but taking just a few seconds to think about the outcome, it can make for a much more logical decision. I remember my father, who was a successful businessman in Chicago years ago, told me to stop and take 3 seconds to look at what I've done, whether I'm turning it in written form or think about what I'm doing, and take those couple seconds just to step back and reflect. And I think that's where some more logic will come into decisions than just reacting emotionally.
Oh, okay. Joe, you have anything that you'd like to maybe add to that, or any questions that you might have for Barbara?
Sure. Hi, Barbara.
Hi, Joe.
I love the topic of your book here and the work that you do. And you know, part of it reminds me of this the study that's in the Path of Dialogue. I don't know if you might have heard of that before. Path of Dialogue work.
No, I'm not familiar with that.
It has to do with the conflict management, conflict resolution. And one of your quotes there reminded me of the fundamental attribution error. And I like what you're saying, because it, you know, it helps to put in the forefront of our minds, you know, to think a little bit. And once that seed's been planted, then we can nurture it. But that fundamental attribution error is a natural tendency to try to place someone else's behavior as if they were trying to get one over on us.
There are people who are manipulative. I've seen managers who thought that was the right way to motivate an employee, to be manipulative. I talk about one in my book. And in the end, the good employee quit and decided that it just wasn't worth that type of stress. So
yeah, it's just not for me, as the saying goes. Yeah. Staying with the title of the book, you know, on the positive attitude, does that mean that a person has to view everything as totally rosy?
Now, absolutely not. Though I have been accused of being too happy by one of my workshop participants, and I didn't want that person to be happy. I just wanted that person to be grateful for being there. No, I think putting things in perspective, I see many times people catastrophize over situations that aren't that serious. They're not life-threatening. They're just obstacles or challenges. And to even if it's a new situation and the person is not sure if he or she can do the task or or give the little presentation at work, they have to realize that what's the worst that can happen. You know, it's not a life-threatening thing. It's not we're not going to war. It's just putting it into perspective, and then they can relax and have a little different attitude towards the new challenging situation and actually might enjoy it. But no, being positive all the time, everything's not rosy in life as we know it, but it's a matter of putting it into the right little compartment or perspective at that time.
Okay, okay. Barbara, it's we got to take a break. That's what they tell us anyway. That's what they're telling me. So I'm going to ask you to stay with us a little bit longer. And Joe, if you can stay with us a little bit longer, that'll be great. We want to kind of talk a little bit more about thriving with positive attitude. So Barbara, can you stay with us?
Yes, thank you.
Okay. We'll be right back right after this.
Back with more Let's Talk EI on TalkZone.com. Once again, here's your host, Dr. Hank.
Well, welcome back. We have Joe Fierro, the chair for the Gulf Coast chapter, as my co-host today. Joe, thanks for being with us and staying with us. Appreciate that. And we have Barbara Dandro, and Barbara is sharing some information about her book. And Barbara, one of the things that I notice on your book, it says that the Women's Positive Guide to Logical Decisions and Rational Insights in an Emotionally Charged Professional World. Well, you know, when I see one gender mentioned and the other gender not mentioned, my first question is, will this work for men also?
Oh, absolutely. The reason that it is the Women's Positive Guide was a suggestion of one of my editors, because the stories in there were told from a woman's perspective, just stories I'd collected over the years, and they happened to be that way and happened to fit in that little mold. And I do a lot of work with women's groups and women's organizations. But as you see throughout my book, I have quotes from famous men as well. And I think humans are humans, whether they're men or women, though I know, what is it, men are from Mars and women are from Venus. There are some similarities in how we work together and should work together and should communicate, find ways to communicate. And certainly asking questions would help in the maybe the gender barrier if it exists.
I want to mention to the listeners out there that this is an open forum show, and we do want calls to come in. If you have questions for myself or Barbara or Joe, call us at 1-888-463-6748. That's 1-888-463-6748. So please feel free to call in, ask Barbara, ask Hank, or ask Joe, and share your thoughts, whatever they are, about the topic of emotional intelligence. Another quick question, Barbara. What is the difference between time management and time strategies, and where does emotional intelligence enter into handling time?
I'm glad you asked me that, Dr. Hank, because that's something I talk with my clients and groups all the time. People think that never does anybody have enough time, first of all. And it's mysterious how, with only 24 hours in the day, some people get so much accomplished and other people are always lagging behind and straggling. And I think that right there is the key, being proactive and planning ahead. I look at time management as putting out fires or handling things as they come up, where time strategy is taking that step back and saying, where am I going? What's the week going to be like? What's the month going to be like? And really planning time, including planning nothing zones, if you will, because there's always something that will come up, because life is continually changing. There's all kinds of change and problems, if you will, opportunities, challenges that come up. So strategizing is what I tell people to plan ahead, be good at planning, and prioritizing the things that are most important, the have-tos instead of the want-tos. We always want to do the easy things first or the fun things first, but if we tackle some of the harder projects and we learn to break them down, like eating that elephant, you know, one bite at a time, and reward ourselves along the way, then it becomes less stressful, and all of a sudden we've accomplished something because we have the right strategy. And it's not a management at the last minute and missing deadlines and things like that. That does, and Joe was speaking about ROI, that kind of activity can cost the company a great deal of money. The lack of planning, the lack of acting, and the lack of communication, which adds to accomplishing things on time as well.
So what's your thought on that, Joe? Would you concur, or would you kind of take the opposite point of view on that?
I think that she's pinning it right. She's pinning it right down there. Excellent point. I agree with that 100%. I especially like the way you say, even if you're planning nothing time. And that reminds you of a little of the late, great Steve Covey, when he talks about that sharpening the saw and planning that downtime, you know, making sure you're taking care of other things. And more importantly, Barbara, like what you're saying is, you know, getting your arms around that. I love where you're going with that.
Yeah,
thanks.
Well, thank you, Joe. Thank you, Joe. I look at downtime as that time to just sit and relax and regroup and refresh, let all the brain cells air out, if you will. Be ready for that next challenge.
Yeah, my thought when you said that, Barbara, is sort of let the wind blow through your head, you know, from ear to ear. You know how it comes in one side, goes out the other. So, yeah, you got to have that downtime so that you can refresh. You know, I also share that with others that there are times when you just got to have, you know, time for self. Which brings up another thought, and that is, how does gratitude, I noticed that, you know, you mentioned gratitude in the work that you're doing. So how does that enter into being emotionally intelligent and viewing what may appear to be negative business situations?
Well, first of all, I think people and at one time I did work for the newspaper, so the news does a great job in reporters getting the news out, but they have limited time slots or limited space in the paper. And of course, what sells is the negative side. That's what people tend to gravitate and focus on. And so automatically we think of something negative. Oh, I have a new assignment at work. Oh, I have to work with that person from the other department. And it's always negative instead of looking at the opportunity that could be there, because we're making assumptions based on, oh, I've worked with someone with light brown hair before, and there she is again. We don't stop and think and take that perspective of what is the opportunity here. And this could be a chance for me to really show what I have, what I can offer to the company. And I'm grateful for this experience. I'm grateful for having to find something else. And people don't stop and say, gee, I'm so glad to be here. You know, what can I get out of this experience? How will it help me in my career or with my family? And I think just having an attitude of gratitude can be so powerful. It really puts things in such a different perspective. We live in a wonderful country. We have so many freedoms. And then to not look at things as opportunities that they are, I find it amazing, people. But that's my perspective. Not that I'm perfect all the time, that's for sure. But I have a great coach and a mentor who does put me back on track whenever I get out off track. And I think that's important, too.
Well, it sounds like you're saying is that having a coach is pretty important. I know that almost all successful athletes have coaches. Successful singers have coaches. Successful writers have coaches. But we don't kind of think about, and I'm just kind of jumping around here for a second, because I heard, you know, you say successful, and you heard you use the term coaches. Would you feel that or believe that coaches are important as a part of thriving with a positive attitude, having a coach help you out there?
Oh, absolutely. I personally believe that everyone should have a coach, and or someone who can help us find that right perspective. My coach and mentor is I give her credit in the beginning of the book, my daughter, who is also my best friend, and she'll let me know that, gee, mother, you're telling your clients, you know, to stop and think, and you're rushing off, so it's good to have that perspective. I believe it's good. There are times I might not think so, but that helps to keep me on track for my goals and what I'm trying to accomplish in life. And I think that's so important. It's hard for us individuals to see us as we really are, and it helps to have someone outside, you know, keeping us on target.
Okay. Joe, any thoughts on that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. You know, the coaches, even they fill so many different roles, you know, the sounding board, but also looking at your blind spots. And, you know, I think about my fitness coach that I used to have, and even though I know how to do a bench press, or I know how to do certain, you know, aerobics, grapevine, and that kind of thing, you know, the aerobic coach or my fitness coach will kind of keep an eye on me and help to make sure that I'm doing it just right. And you have the right trust there. Barbara's right on. Got to have that coach. Good deal.
Fantastic.
That's funny you should mention that, Joe, because several years ago I was taking Taekwondo for exercise, and I had my first testing, and we had a practice one night, and I was very nervous. It was something new to me, and I had to test by myself before the really good little kids. And after that practice session, my daughter said to me, "Mother, why are you so nervous? You get up, you speak in front of all, you know, big audiences," and it helped me think, gee, you know, I can do this, and it really was helpful. We know we can do it, but down deep inside, there might be that doubt that it's something new, can I really do it? So it helps to have that encouragement and that right ally.
Okay. There you go.
Yeah. Well, I really thank you both, and I really thank you both for being on the show today. I'm getting the orange flashing light, and, you know, it's like when you're driving your car and you see the orange light or the yellow light come on, you know, it's kind of letting you know that it's, you know, you should be stopping and before the red light happens, and I'm getting a yellow light here. So it's a signal to me that we are about at the end of the show. So let me go back to Barbara just for a minute and say, Barbara, thanks for being on the show today. I really appreciate it. And I want to give you another opportunity to kind of shout out to your daughter out there, who I just know is listening, and also to the listeners who might want to get a copy of your book. How could they do that?
They can go to my website, bjdandro.com, or they can call me at 727-515-1480. My email is on the website, barbara@bjdandro.com.
Barbara, thanks so much for being on the show today. I really appreciate it, and we'll be looking to hear more from you later. And like I mentioned, the conference is coming up October 18th, and we're looking forward to seeing you at the conference.
Well, thank you for this opportunity, Dr. Hank. I enjoyed it.
And Joe, as always, thank you, my man, for taking time to be my co-host today. Really enjoyed spending time with you, and look forward to seeing you again.
All right, my friend. Love the opportunity. Great effort here. Good thing. Thank you.
Okay, everyone, it is time for me to say that's all, folks. I really appreciate the time that you spent with us today on Let's Talk EI. Look forward to next month when we'll have another special guest and another special co-host. So thanks for joining us today, and go out and have an EI day.